Returning again this evening to the general epistle of Jude, and we just want to read three verses this evening, and we are going to commence our reading at the verse 5, just verses 5 to 7. We have read these verses before, and we have considered them before in this series in the book of Jude. But as we announced this morning, we want to consider particularly what is said in verse 7. We read about Sodom and Gomorrah and the sin that was committed in those cities in verse 7. But let us read from verse 5 to 7. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Let's read verse 7 again. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Amen, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth this evening. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy truth that is set before us tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for the instruction in this epistle. And O God, as we consider thy word again tonight from this epistle, we pray, Lord, that you would come and speak to all of our hearts. We recognize that God judges sin. We thank thee and we praise thee, Lord, that you sent your Son to die for sin upon the cross, and all who trust in him alone for salvation can have their sins forgiven. O God, we thank thee that there's mercy and forgiveness with the Lord through the blood of Christ tonight. And we pray, Lord, that each one here in this meeting tonight would know cleansing from sin and forgiveness for their sin. O God, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy mercy to sinners. And O God, we pray tonight for those in the meeting who are not saved, that you would speak to their hearts and draw them lovingly to the foot of the cross. Lord, give us wisdom tonight as we deal with this subject. Fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. Anoint us with thy power. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Two Sunday nights ago in our studies in this general epistle of Jude, we considered God's judgment upon the false teacher. In that study, we considered three illustrations that Jude gave in connection with God's judgment in the past. First of all, there was God's judgment upon the Israelites in the wilderness because of their sin of unbelief. That's what we have in verse 5 of Jude. Secondly, there was God's judgment upon the fallen angels because of their sin of pride. That's what we read about in verse 6. And thirdly, there was God's judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin of sodomy. And of course, that's what we have there in verse 7. In our studies this evening, I want to draw your attention to the third of these illustrations and consider with you the sin of sodomy. If there is a subject that is to the fore today, it is this sin of homosexuality. Northern Ireland, at the moment, is the only part of the United Kingdom where homosexuals are not allowed to be legally married. This society of ours is changing, and it's not changing for the better. Now, not all change is bad. But any change that tampers with the clear teaching of the Word of God is completely wrong. Therefore, not only is passing laws to permit homosexuals to be married completely wrong and a distortion of the meaning of marriage, but to say that the act of sodomy is right and to accept it as such is totally unscriptural, because God in his holy word clearly teaches that sodomy or homosexuality is sin. Now we all believe that here tonight, but the majority in this world do not believe it, and they will not accept the teaching of the word of God on any matter, not alone this matter. But you know, child of God, as far as you and I are concerned, as we have often said in this pulpit, the Bible and the Bible alone is our only rule of faith and practice. And I pray that as we deal with this subject again tonight, because we have dealt with it before, I pray that the Lord will come and refresh our minds upon what God says about sodomy or homosexuality. There are a number of things, very simply, that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, I want you to notice God's description of the sin of sodomy or the sin of homosexuality. How does God describe this sin in his word? Well, the word of God is clear when it comes to defining the act of sodomy. God not only forbids its practice, but God calls it sin. I want you to keep your hand in Jude, the epistle of Jude, for we'll be turning back to it just in a moment. And I want you to turn over to the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus chapter 18. And I want you to look at verse 22. Because here in this text, God describes for us the sin of sodomy. Here we have Moses in the law declaring God's precious word in his day and generation. And in Leviticus 18 verse 22 we read these words, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind." So there's the command. As with womankind, it is an abomination. God describes the sin of sodomy as an abomination. God is clear in his condemnation of this sin. And here we have God's word before us tonight in the Old Testament. And God dogmatically calls sodomy or homosexuality an abomination. Now, turn over to the New Testament to another reference, this time to Romans chapter 1. And here, of course, we have the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Paul here, as he writes to the Christians at Rome, he says this about sodomy or homosexuality. Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. We read these words, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." There we have God, Paul speaking, and he's speaking the word of the Lord. And the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, describes this sin of sodomy or homosexuality as uncleanness. Now, if you take the time to read Romans chapter 1, you will see clearly that Paul here is speaking about this sin that we are dealing with tonight. And we read here that as far as God is concerned, that God describes this act as uncleanness. Now that's how God describes the sin of sodomy. Also in this chapter, if you take a look at verse 26 and 27, you'll see that God continues to give a definition of this sin. Look at verse 26. "And this, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." Underline that phrase. So God here describes the sin of sodomy, not only as uncleanness, not only as an abomination in his sight, but as vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So God's word is very clear. In fact, it couldn't be clearer. And of course, child of God, this is where we stand, and this is where we must stand, because God's word has not changed, and God's word will never change, because it is forever settled in heaven. Not only, therefore, do we have this description of sodomy in the Old Testament, but we have a clear description of sodomy in the New Testament. And of course, when we read the Epistle of Jude in verse 7, look at it again. Here, Jude, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he comes to speak about the sin that was committed in Sodom and Gomorrah, he describes it as fornication. He describes these men as those who went after strange flesh. So the Bible is very dogmatic when it comes to its condemnation upon this act of sodomy, this act of homosexuality. But I want you to notice something else about this sin of sodomy. Secondly, I want you to notice that the sin of sodomy has upon it the sentence of death. Now, all sin has upon it the sentence of death. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And if men refuse to come to Christ, if men continue to live in their sin, no matter what that sin is, they will not only die physically, but they will die eternally. And the Bible tells us that while there's a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. And those who refuse to come to Christ, those who refuse to repent of their sin and seek Christ as their Savior, when they leave this scene of time, will end up in a lost eternity. Indeed, the Bible speaks about the second death. The second death is when God will cast sinners into the flame of fire. But this sin of sodomy in the days of Moses had upon it the death penalty. Turn over again to the book of Leviticus, this time in the chapter 20, and look with me there at the verse 13, and you will read these words. And you ought to underline these verses in your Bible. Look what it says in Leviticus 20 verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman. In other words, two men together. And it also means two women together as well. Both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. The command of God was that those who committed the act of sodomy or homosexuality in the days of Moses were to be put to death. That was the law. The sentence of death passed upon those who committed the act of sodomy. So you can see how severe God judged this sin, and what God thought of this wicked, vile sin. Now I want you to turn over for a moment to Genesis chapter 19. In Genesis chapter 19, of course, we read about God judging Sodom and Gomorrah. Why did God destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because the men of Sodom and Gomorrah were given over to the sin of sodomy. That's why the judgment of God was poured out upon the cities of the plain. Let us read from verse 1. It's a familiar chapter, I'm sure, to most of us. But just to familiarize ourselves with it again, look at verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake on level bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Now, I want you to underline verse 5. Verse 5 is very, very important. It says, "And they called unto Lot." This was the men of the city. The old men and the new men. This sin of sodomy is not only committed by young men, it is also committed by old men. "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Now I want you to underline that phrase, "that we may know them." That phrase is referring to a sexual act. They wanted to commit the act of sodomy with the two angels that had come to Sodom to warn Lot about the judgment of God. It was not that the men of Sodom just wanted to shake hands with the two angels and say hello to them. They did not just want to give them a friendly greeting. They wanted to commit vile sin with them. And it's very important that you understand that phrase in verse 5, because that is the key. That is the key that reveals unto us the sin that was being committed in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. This can be seen when we consider Lot's reaction to their request in verses 6 and 7. Look what it says in verses 6 and 7. "And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Lot knew why they wanted the two angels. Lot knew what these young and old men were up to. He knew that it just wasn't a friendly greeting that they wanted to express. He knew that these men wanted to commit this vile act of sodomy, and that's why Lot says to them, "Do not so wickedly." Lot knew exactly what sin the men of Sodom wanted to commit. It was the sin of homosexuality. And Lot knew himself that it was a wicked sin and an ungodly sin. But look how God dealt with the sin. We're dealing here under this point with God judging the sin of sodomy. That sodomy had upon it the death sentence. Because we read on down this chapter that God overthrew those cities. Look at verse 25. "And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground." Here we have God's judgment falling upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at verse 24. It says, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." God judged the sin. And everyone in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the surrounding cities, they were destroyed. And you know the story well, I'm sure, that only Lot and his two daughters survived. God preserved Lot, because Lot was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a saved man. He shouldn't have been in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, but God preserved his life. And of course, I believe that God answered the prayer of Abraham when Abraham prayed for Lot and prayed for the cities, that if there were any righteous within those walls, that God would spare them. And God did spare Lot, because Lot was a righteous man. But you can see here the judgment of God falling upon the cities of the plain. And the reason why the judgment of God fell upon the cities of the plain was because of this wicked sin. Indeed, our text in Jude 7 reveals this to us. Look at our text again. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, unnatural flesh, ungodly flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Men and women, the truth is this, that if men refuse to turn from their sin and repent their sin, if they refuse to cry unto God for mercy and for pardon, God will judge their sin, no matter what their sin is, no matter what their iniquity is. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We've already quoted that verse. But let me quote you another one in Romans 6, verse 23. It says, the wages of sin is death. And that's the clear but solemn teaching of God's precious word. And God's judgment upon sin has not changed. And we know so well when we read Acts chapter 17 that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. God will judge this world again for its sin. And if you're not saved tonight, God will judge you for your sin if you die without the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And you have a death sentence over you tonight. You say, but I have never committed the sin of sodomy. Well, whether you've committed that sin or you've committed other sins, and you have a nature that is sinful because you've been born with that sinful nature. And if you die without Christ as your Savior, if you die without having your sins forgiven, then the judgment of God will fall upon you. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we're learning here from these words that we have before us. Now, there's something else I want to say, and it's very important, and it's this, that the sin of sodomy is a sign of the second coming of Christ. Sodomy on the increase is a sign of the second coming of Christ. Now, there's no doubt that the sin of sodomy is as old as this earth. But it is also true to say that this sin is on the increase and is more widespread today than it ever has been before. I believe that the sin of sodomy is committed more today throughout this world than it was in the days of Lot. And this fact that sodomy is on the increase is a sure sign that the second coming of Christ is at hand. My friend, when you have governments legalizing sodomy, when you have governments saying that it is right for two men to get married and two women to get married, this world is going crazy. But you know, these things that we see happening today, they're only signposts. And they're only drawing our attention to the fact that prophecy is being fulfilled and that Jesus Christ will soon come again to this earth. Look with me at Luke's chapter 17. I'm sure it's a familiar passage again to most. But look what the Lord Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago. In Luke 17, verse 26 to 28, the Savior said this, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man." What was it like in the days of Noah? Well, man was running after sin. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 27, they did eat and drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, underline verse 28, "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Now underline these words, "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." even thus shall it be. In other words, prior to the second coming of Christ, the sins that were committed in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot will increase. They'll increase 100-fold. You would think that after God judged the cities of the plain and judged this world for its sin in the days of Noah, that man would learn from that. And instead of running towards sin and running after sin, that he would turn away from sin. But that's not the case. And the truth is that prior to the second coming of Christ, that man's lusts will get greater and greater after the sins of the flesh. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here. What great truth is brought out here? Simply this, that God will judge the ungodly at his second coming. As he judged that generation in the days of Noah with the flood, and as he judged those in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for their sin of sodomy, so God, when he sends his Son forth again to this world, will judge sin again. Take a look just for a moment. Do you see this in 2 Peter chapter 2? It's a familiar passage of scripture, I'm sure, to most, but look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2. And look with me there at verse 4. Verses that we have already considered in the course of these studies. But here we have Peter, and he's coming to speak about the end times. And look what he says. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. If God spared not these people that sinned, my friend, how are you going to escape the judgment of God? And the truth is this, the answer is this, that you will not escape the judgment of God. Hebrews 2 verse 3 clearly teaches that. Men and women today need to realize that there is a judgment to come and that God does judge sin. And when we see sin in the increase, and as far as you and I are concerned, child of God, it grieves our hearts when we see our government passing wicked and evil laws. But you know, it should not surprise us. It should not surprise us, because the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied that it would be and it would come to pass. And we look around us and we see sin on every hand. And we see even those who should know better accepting these sins. Well, my friend, it's time that we need to look up, because redemption draws nigh. The Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is coming back very, very soon. And that's why in these days, child of God, you and I who are saved, we need to live close to the Lord, and we need to turn away from sins. And we need to realize that if there's a day when we need to walk a holy life upon this earth, it is this day and generation in which we live. Because the Lord is coming back again very soon, and he's coming back to judge this world for its sin. And as he judged the men of Sodom for their sin, he will judge this world again. Now, there's something else I want you to notice. And in order to see this, I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because this is very important. I want you to notice, fourthly, that the sodomite, or the homosexual, the person who commits this vile sin, can be forgiven and can be saved by the grace of God. The sodomite and the saving grace of God. Here we have the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And of course, The Corinthian church was established through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and you can read about it in the book of Acts. And he went into Corinth and he preached the gospel, and there were many of the Corinthians who were saved. And those who were saved established a New Testament church. And 1st and 2nd Corinthians are two letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. But the point I want to make is this, that many of those who were saved, before they were converted, they committed wicked sins. Corinth was a wicked, ungodly place. And those that were saved were trophies of grace. And some of those who got saved were sodomites, were homosexuals. Now I want you to take a look with me at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now I want you to underline that phrase. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying here is this. If men die in their sin, they're lost. If the drunkard dies in his sin without having his sins forgiven, he will be lost. If an idolater dies in his idolatry, he'll be lost. If a covetous man, a reviler, an extortioner, if they die in their sin, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what Paul is saying here. Now look at verse 11. After he gives us this list of sins, he says this, and such were some of you. In other words, the people that Paul was writing to here, before they were converted, they were fornicators, they were idolaters, they were adulterers, they were effeminate, they were thieves, they were covetous, they were drunkards, they were revilers, they were extortioners, they were abusers of themselves with mankind. But now they were saved. They had repented of their sin. Such were some of you, but ye are washed. Look at verse 11. But ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, look at verse 9 again, and look at the phrase that I pointed out to you, abusers of themselves with mankind. Now, this literally means abusers of themselves with men. This is speaking about committing the sin of sodomy. There were those in Corinth who were homosexuals. And when Paul preached, they got saved. And they turned away from their sin of sodomy. And God forgave them. Men and women, there is forgiveness and salvation even for the person who commits the sin of sodomy. When there is true repentance from that sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And it's very, very important that we realize that and we see that from the scriptures. Sodomy is a sin that's vile. We have already noticed that. It's abomination in the sight of God. It's a wicked sin. But so is adultery. And so is murder. And we could go down the list. Sin is sin. But the wonderful message of the gospel is this, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if the homosexual or the lesbian, those who commit the act of sodomy, recognize what they're doing is sin and repent of that sin. In other words, turn away from that sin.
Say, not only say they're wrong, but turn away from that sin and refuse to commit that sin again and trust Christ as their own and personal Saviour and confess their sin to God. They can find forgiveness and they can find cleansing and they can know God's wonderful salvation. And it's so important that we point that out. And it's so important, child of God, that you understand that when you come to consider this sin of sodomy. Don't think for one minute that the sodomite can't be forgiven, that the homosexual cannot be saved. They can be saved. Just like the drunkard, he can be saved if he turns away from his booze. Just like the adulterer can be saved if they turn away from their adultery. Just like anyone who commits any sin, they can be saved. But there must first be repentance. That's what the word repentance means. Repentance means a turning around, a turning away from sin. And of course, you can't be saved until you turn away from sin. Now, the sin of pride could keep you out of heaven. There are many, and you've often heard me talk about the clean side of the broad road and the dirty side of the broad road. Well, those who commit the act of sodomy are definitely walking down the dirty side of the broad road. But you know, it's possible for someone to come to church every week and sit under the sound of the gospel and still refuse to turn away from their sin of pride, their sin of believing that God will accept them on the basis of their good works. And we were speaking about that this morning. My friend, maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you've never committed sodomy and you've never committed adultery and you've never committed murder, but you're still not saved. And you're still holding on to sin, the sins of your life. Well, until you turn from your sin, then you will never know God's forgiveness and God's cleansing. But praise God, all those who confess their sin to God. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, the wonderful message of the gospel is this, that the vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus of cleansing receives whatever sin you have committed in the past. If you have repented of that sin and asked the Lord to forgive you for that sin and pleaded the cleansing of the precious blood from that sin, then God has forgiven you. Indeed, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. My friend, the truth is this, that each and every one of us have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Each and every one of us have been born with a sin nature that's bringing us down to hell. That's why we needed the intervention of God. And God intervened by sending His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die upon the cross and shed His precious blood for our sins. Thank God, because of the sacrifice of Calvary, all who repent and trust in Christ alone for salvation will know justification, will know sins forgiven, because that's what justification means, just as if I have never sinned. And thank God for the cleansing blood tonight. We often sing that hymn, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." But remember this, and I close with this. If you hold on to your sin, if you refuse to repent of your sin, then like the men of Sodom who held on to their sin of sodomy, you will receive eternal fire. Look what it says at the end of verse 7. "Are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Eternal fire in hell.
And the punishment that the sinner will receive is eternal. It's everlasting. Because Jude here describes their punishment as eternal. May God bless his word. Let us all pray.